Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Titans and the moves made in the unofficial start of free agency yesterday. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington. Nate, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Fellas, how y'all doing? Good morning, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for taking time to join us, Nate. And I want to start with the losses for the Titans yesterday. You lose Corey Davis to the New York Jets, lose Jonnu Smith on a four-year, $50 million contract to the New England Patriots. What was your reaction when you saw that Davis and Jonnu Smith were going elsewhere? And what do you think about those deals that those two landed?
From the start, when they didn't get the franchise tag, you know, I knew it was something, you know, brewing about, you know, free agency and them possibly leaving. Those are just huge signs for guys like that that are assets to your team that they don't franchise, in my opinion. And, you know, it's one of those situations, obviously, where there's a major change in the salary cap. I think the Titans kind of understood that, you know, franchise tag was going to be difficult to just carry one. And they made a decision not to carry any. So with that being said, you know, seeing those guys leave and go get the paydays that they've gotten and the new positions and the new organizations that they'll be a part of, it was well-deserved. You know, I think Corey's on his way to becoming a solid, reliable asset for a team, and the Jets obviously need a huge, major help at receiver right now. And, you know, New England has been struggling with weapons as well. You know, it's something that's been widely recognized with that team in comparison to when Tom has left and how things have went last year. And it's just been a huge, a huge problem with them the last couple of years of not having the tools or the assets on that New England Patriots team to compete the way that they want to. So to see Jonnu get the payday he's gotten with those guys in New England is obviously just a testament to them needing assets to, you know, help Cam Newton out and Jonnu being one of those assets, you know, that they believe in.
So, Nate, obviously the Titans here, you know, like you said, those guys, the cap reality was what it was. John Robinson went out and invested a lot of money in trying to fix the defense. Do you think that they should have tried to keep at least one of those guys to keep going what they have offensively?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because obviously with Art being gone, you know, I think, you know, you have the structure of what type of offense that you want to have, but obviously there's going to be a different caller in place. So we're going to be seeing actually a totally different style of offense, even if it's the same guys, you know, with a totally different mind, you have totally different play calls in different situations. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the whole offense looks in itself. You know, we understand that Derrick Henry is one of the best backs in the game, and I think they'll have to continue to ride him into the promised land. But obviously with Derrick being their number one asset, I think, you know, there's going to be a major room for play action still, you know. So it's going to be interesting because A.J. is not going to be the same A.J. without Jonnu and Corey. You know, it's a help league. You know, I think he's an outstanding receiver. But, you know, now being the only guy that I think can, you know, hurt a team in the pass game, I think a lot of teams will understand that and come out and do whatever they have to structure and strategize to stop AJ. So with that being said, there's going to have to be some places, I mean, that the Titans are going to have to address here in this offseason, maybe through the draft, maybe still through some diamonds in the rough in the free agency. But, you know, there's still going to be some offensive positions that they're going to have to address, you know, trying to help this offense move forward and be successful as they have been in the past.
Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Nate, you brought up the draft there, and we've had a lot of people on our text line today talk about how the Titans need to go out and draft some receiver help now. I'm interested from your vantage point, being a former receiver in the league, how do you view college receivers coming into the NFL now in terms of their readiness to come in and contribute right away? It seems like from our view that more and more receivers are ready to contribute right away coming in from college in the NFL nowadays.
Definitely. I think the opportunity has just changed in itself. You know, a lot of times when you get young guys into the league previously, well, I'll say throughout my tenure in the league, you get a lot of young guys come in, you know, and you're expecting them, even some guys that you get in the first round and you're expecting to start, you know, the opportunities are slim to none, becoming one of those splash breakout guys. You know, even with OBJ when he was a young guy, had the big catch on Monday Night Football, Dallas Cowboy game, you know, but had a great splash name for itself, but it was a struggle to try to get him into that offense afterwards just because of him being a young guy. But then you turn around and you look at a Justin Jefferson and what he was able to do last year with the Minnesota Vikings. It's just a true testament that these guys are prepared to play today, you know, in the NFL now coming out of college. And it's going to be interesting. You know, you have some major names on the table. Some guys that sat out last year, I'm going to be interested to see what the kid Chase does from LSU, being he sat out a whole year. But I think you have some interesting names on the table that may be able to come in and help the Titans immediately if it's approached right. You know, obviously the Titans are in a different position in the draft, drafting later in the first round. They have the back end of those picks and those type of things. But once you get into the second round, I think they'll give themselves a little bit more opportunity to get in the mix of those top-tier guys and that middle to late round to try to get some assets that can help this team out at that receiver position.
So, Nate, what do you think about Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, both as players and then also the price tags involved here?
Interesting price tags, you know, especially with Bud coming off of the injury. But obviously, the help that they needed. You know, I think looking at this offseason, you know, me personally and addressing it personally with my personal opinion, you know, I was worried, you know, seeing that they needed help at pass rush, you know, obviously needed help at secondary, letting Malcolm Butler go, still needing help offensively, you know, with receivers and tight end help. And those all being, you know, major issues, in my opinion, that the Titans were going to have to address here in this offseason. And, you know, you can't address everything in the draft. You cannot address everything in the draft. And with that being said, you know, looking at the first day go by and not, you know, almost the whole first day go by and not seeing much transitions action from the Titans, you know, and knowing that those were some major areas of concern, you know, and not seeing any movement on it, you know, to see what they did later on in the day, making those two acquisitions, I think they at least took one of those concerns off the table. You know, now you can take at least pass rush off the table and say, you know, well, at least we're more comfortable with the guys that we're bringing in and them approaching, you know, having the approach that they have and what they are able to bring to the pass rush. You know, now so you can just really look at the secondary and this receiver help that they need to bring someone in and have somebody, you know, on the other side of AJ be more accountable and actually help him out to keep the coverage off of him. You know, now those two things I think that they can address early in the draft. I think they can bring in some young guys, as you stated in your previous question, that'll be ready and willing to play immediately. And still have that pass rush be solidified with what they brought in through free agency. You know, I know Bud Dupree. I don't know him personally, but I definitely know the organization that he's coming from, obviously. I know the characteristic, the personality that those type of guys carry. And, you know, there's concern, obviously, with the injury that he's coming off of, but one thing I know and two things for sure is that Bud is going to be ready to play football. It means something to him. I think the Titans organization in itself has, you know, especially last year, experienced some guys in the locker room that maybe necessarily didn't want to give their all anymore. You know, unfortunately, what happened with Vic Beasley in the beginning of the season, then you turn around, you have what happens with Isaiah Wilson and the draft pick that you made last year. And obviously, you know, you get talented guys in the NFL, but the wherewithal and the want-to still has to be made up in their mind. But, you know, I think Bud has that want-to come in, bounce back from the injury, and be an impact that he know he can be in that pass rush game.
Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, last thing for you here. We've talked a lot today about getting somebody on the other side of A.J. Brown to have a 1-2 punch if you're the Titans, but how important is getting somebody in the slot? The Titans have not had that consistently over the last couple of years just based on Adam Humphries and the injuries that he sustained. How important is that for the Titans? How big of a weapon could that be if the Titans get a player that could come in and be a big factor in the slot?
Well, I'll even go a step further and say, especially with losing Jonnu, you have no interior of the field. It'll be different if you had a tight end that you can rely on that was a major asset in the middle of the field. But, you know, especially when you think about play-action offenses, a lot of times those big plays comes from your interior part of the field, whether it's going to be a slot guy or a tight end. You know, major shots on the outside for the receivers on the outside, big plays for them to make. But, you know, when you're talking about everyday structure of a play-action offense, in my opinion, you have to have somebody to be able to work the interior of the field. So, you know, losing Jonnu and not having a major tight end, you're definitely going to have to address that slot position. You know, Adam didn't pan out the way that the Titans were expecting. You know, I'm pretty sure he's a good guy. You know, he does what he can, but obviously due to major injuries and he hasn't been able to produce that asset that, you know, this offense needs at this moment. So now when you address it here looking at this offseason, and even if he still has the potential to play and, you know, the belief from the organization, you're going to have to put somebody in the middle of the field when you address this play-action style offense. You know, someone is going to have to be accountable. So whether it's finding a tight end that's valuable or addressing this slot position, you know, somebody is going to have to step up and be able to make plays in the interior of the field for this offense to be successful in 2021.
Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Nate, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. You as well. Former Titans and Steelers wide receiver Nate Washington on the show with us. Always great to get his perspective. And we're going to react to a little bit of what Nate had to say there when we come back about the Titans offense and where they go from here. Also, take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Getting rickrolled here on this Tuesday morning.
Beautiful.
Got rickrolled by you yesterday.
Apparently, I sang this song at karaoke in the 90s, and you found the video.
The funny part of that was when I tweeted out this video, there's this app called, I guess, Wombo, and you could take still pictures of people. And I guess with the technology, it makes the face move, and it acts like you're singing a song. And I did that with Rex Road yesterday, at ArchStanleyNHL on Twitter, by the way. You can find it. It's a great video. But the amount of people in the replies that thought that was actually you singing a song was amazing.
Yeah. Like, I joked, like, wow. I was like, how'd you get that video? And then someone was like, whoa, no way you would have that video. Like, yeah, I was kidding. It's not
somebody
a
video. Was like, so I said, if this is actually you and not a deep fake, you need to go back to Detroit. Okay.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
It's people, not really Rex Road singing.
Yeah,
but
people are trying to send me out of here for this. I think it's actually a beautiful video.
I think it is, too.
Nice song, you know.
Slightly terrifying.
it's a little bit freaky. It's weird because the picture, it's kind of like the J.J. Watt picture, the growling, you know, kid who has to wear a starched shirt and go to church, angry at mom, picture that J.J. Watt takes for his teams. And it's like this pleasant, somehow they mold your face. Because, I mean, my picture, I'm like just kind of a.
Yeah, they give you a smile.
It's not really a smile. Yeah, they got me all like the eyes. They make your eyebrows rise. And it's man. Technology. Pretty beautiful. So, yeah, Wombo. It's called the Wombo app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it a shot. People, take some picture and make someone sing a dumb song.
It's been pretty fun. I spent way too much time on it last night. Talking Titans here on the show today. Robbie and Rex Road taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Streaming live today on Twitch and on YouTube as well. I've got the links on my Twitter account, at RStanleyNHL. Joe, some breaking news on the Titans front. This coming from John Glennon of Broadway Sports. The Titans have re-signed tight end Jeff Swaim to a one-year deal. So we talked about the loss of Jonnu Smith and how the Titans have some tight ends still out there in Michael Pruitt and Jeff Swaim and Anthony Firkser that we would assume they try to bring back into the fold here in Nashville. One of those has been done, according to John Glennon. Jeff Swaim coming back on a one-year deal.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think all three of them, if you can get them, and then get someone to replace Janu, even with those three guys. But if you were to lose Mykal Pruitt, you know, Jeff Swaim is, you could have them both, but I think at least one of them you want coming back. Glennon also comes with some stats. You know, Swaim played 33% of the team's offensive snaps. That's a surprising number to me.
Yeah.
Actually.
Started some games.
Yeah, but it shows you, I mean, look, they like the multi-tight end sets. Maybe Todd Downing won't, but he's a tight ends coach turned OC too. So
they have a lot of tight ends out there.
They like tight ends. They like using them multiple at once. 34% of special team snaps too. Good stats, Johnny G. Sorry that UVA is going to lose, but you did a good job today on Jeff Swaim.
There you go.
That's a good signing. And I think, you know, the priority is Firkser. You know, there's a little bit of, I think, selling what Firkser is with some fans. You know, our guy Kenston, who weighs in a lot, he tweeted at me and said, because he's the one who earlier was talking about Jonnu's production. So Kenston, first of all, like Kenston and I totally agreed on Adoree Jackson and kind of argued against you with
Correct.
Malcolm Butler.
And you're both wrong, but that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, the idea is youth speed. To me, it's like more matchups that you have a chance in with Adoree. But see, if Kenson, if you believe that, then you can't now watch Janu play and say, yeah, but his stats weren't good. I mean, come on. But to that point, Kenson says, I hear you on the tight end situation. Janu's talent level is what is going to hurt, losing more than production. But Delanie Walker was the same type of H-back with the 49ers before he came here to be a traditional tight end. Firkser is Frank Wycheck 2.0.
It's a high bar.
Firkser is Frank Wycheck 2.0. That takes got a little bit of smoke to it.
A little bit of smoke to it. I like it, though.
Firkser's good. He's a good pass catcher. Frank Wycheck was a all-around
pretty good tight end.
Hell of a tight end.
He sure was. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the Titans need a true slot wide receiver and a field stretcher, a true burner on the outside. Raymond had some of that, but he's not consistent enough. And as we know, Khalif Raymond is now gone and not part of the Titans. So obviously, there are some holes that they've got to figure out at the receiver position with Corey Davis now gone to the Jets, Jonnu Smith now gone to the New England Patriots. It's basically in the receiver room, A.J. Brown, that's pretty much it at this point. Cam Batson as well, you'd figure he'd be a part of things as they move forward next year. But we've talked about the importance of getting somebody else on the outside. Finding somebody that can operate in the slot, it's going to be crucial for this team. I thought when Adam Humphries was available, and it wasn't as much as you were hoping for if you're a Titans fan, but when he was available, I thought he was productive. I thought he was a safety blanket for Ryan Tannehill. You knew where he was going to be. And honestly, like if he would have remained healthy, I think Adam Humphries is exactly the guy you want in the slot. But we know that's not going to be the case with him now. I think finding somebody else, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, that could come in and help you over the middle of the field, that has got to be high, you know, on the priority list now for John Robinson based on the moves he's made yesterday.
Yeah, Humphries is one of those guys, it doesn't matter because it didn't count in games, but like in practices, for example, he would destroy guys. You know, he would destroy. I mean, these DBs would want to line up against him, you know, Butler and those guys, because he was such a tough cover, so hard to press, and, you know, his moves off the line were elite. But like you said, I mean, you get hurt that much, you don't produce like he did, you have to move on. You want to find someone who can be something like that in the slot. I'm going to keep saying Rondale Moore's name as a
– You love you some Rondale Moore.
Yeah. I don't know. He's there are knocks against him, certainly his size, and he's been banged up too. But really powerful to go with speed, and the change of direction is something else. But, yeah, that's a priority, and a priority is to have a number two outside. So it's really the room that really needs the most work right now.
Well, it's obvious at this point the Titans have made the decision to sacrifice some offense to try to fix the defense that was so bad last year. Obviously, with Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith gone, you now have holes on the offensive side of the ball. The question is – and we're not going to know this for sure until we see what else the Titans do and how it plays out on the field. But the question Titans fans have is that the right move? Was it the right move to sacrifice this much offense with Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith not being there to try and fix the defense? Have you taken too much away from a spot where you were absolutely elite in the NFL in order to try to fix a weakness that was glaring And are you in danger at becoming maybe average on both sides of the ball? That, to me, would be my concern if I'm the Titans.
Yeah. If they get to average on offense from this, that's a big drop, unexpected drop. Probably something that would be blamed on Todd Downing. Frankly, I mean, you still have the offensive line, which I like that, because I thought that there might be just some necessary, attrition there. But,
yeah.
But apparently.
Now you've added to it. With Kendall Lamb coming in.
Keeping the band together there. And you have your three. Now you have your three stars. And A.J. Brown is the next guy. You're going to pay him. Yeah, and that's another thing. You do have to, even though it's every year, you are also looking down the road, and A.J. Brown is going to be another guy who takes up a big chunk of your cap because he's just too good not to sign unless something really drastic changes next year. But I think you should still be good as long as you can find, you got to make some choices now. And who knows, is the defense even going to get any better from these moves?
That's a good question.
Thing. I mean, you've spent a lot of money to make that happen. You spent money last year. Last year you spent $21.75 million for basically nothing. And now this year, what is this year's number? I mean, the number that matters is the $44 million guaranteed for those two guys.
But, right.
But as far as next year, I guess you're talking about 23, right? 23-ish
mm-hmm.
on two guys to totally – I mean, those two guys have got to come in and be great.
Some breaking news in the NFL. This coming from Mike Kliss out in Denver. The Broncos will exercise the $7 million guarantee option on Von Miller's $18 million salary for 2021. So they tried to kind of lower that cap number, and apparently that was a no-go with Von Miller and his camp, but the Broncos did not want to lose him, so the Broncos will be paying Von Miller $18 million this year. So it looks like he's sticking around in Denver.
That's a number.
That is a number. Of course, Bud Dupree just made $16.5 million per year.
And Von Miller has done more at his best, certainly, than Bud Dupree has done.
Good time to be an edge rusher in the NFL.
Yes, it is.
Shaq Barrett yesterday as well.
Still getting paid.
Still getting paid a whole lot of money. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Preds TV analyst Chris Mason will join us. We'll break down a big win yesterday for the Preds, maybe their most impressive performance of the entire season. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to bring in our good friend, Predators TV analyst Chris Mason on our 102.5 the Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. C. Mace, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
What's going on, guys? Not too much. Actually, just watching the new update for Fortnite.
Oh, boy. That could be dangerous.
Oh, boy.
Fortnite guy, huh? Day. Are you a solid Fortnite player?
Yeah, I used to do the old the Call of Duty and stuff, and I never got into Warzone, and then for whatever reason, just Fortnite. So yeah.
I respect it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Chris Mason, expert Fortnite player.
It's no Sega Hockey 1993, but
I was expert level on that. I'm very average in Fortnite.
I am as well. No worries on that front. Preds TV analyst Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. And C-Mace, a big 4-1 win yesterday for the Preds down in Tampa Bay against the defending champions. I thought, given the circumstances and the quality of competition that you're going up against, probably the most impressive performance of the season for the Predators. What say you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, this season's been, I think we talk about it ad nauseum about the ups and downs, and it's been a lot of downs, and it's been disappointing, and then on top of that, they have all the injuries, and you go down the list, and you're always talking about that stuff. When they do, play like that, I thought even though in the game that they played 6-3, they lost 6-3, I thought they played really well, given, who they're playing against and the way that game went. But this was, they came in with the right mindset, the right attitude. I mean, no one's going to feel sorry for you, as a team, no matter who's out or, how your season's going. The team that you're facing off on the other side of the ice is not going to feel sorry for you or give in at all. So I thought their mindset and their attitude, they just seemed to have a lot of jump, a lot of energy, and I thought they really just played a good old-fashioned, just a good hockey game, good hard-working underdog type of hockey game, and it was great. And Pekka was awesome as well, especially throughout that whole game at certain points, after they scored their first goal and throughout the game, I thought he was just he was incredible. That's, you need your goaltender to steal one for you too. But all in all, I was really impressed with how they responded and the way they came out with that kind of mindset of, you know, kind of us against the world. We're gonna do this as a team and see what happens. And they held on there at the end. There's a couple dicey moments in that game where Tampa was really pushing, and it felt like I was holding my breath anyway. But I thought it was a great game. Great game all around, up and down the lineup.
See, Mace, what do you think of the Trenin-Olivier tandem? And what do you think about both those guys moving forward? 24-year-old, big, strong forwards, was bringing a little edge. You know, what's the long view of those guys?
Well, I think both those guys, I mean, you make a case. Like, when you're building a team, you're not going for all skill guys, all speed. You need different elements in your lineup, and you need balance and guys that can be effective with them and Colton Sissons. They started every, you know, they're out there at the end of the game. They started the game. They really got off. I think that first shift was important. They get the puck deep and, you know, get on the forecheck, lay the body, and they get a couple opportunities. And really, I thought, kick-started, you know, the momentum or the mentality for that hockey game. And I like what they bring to the table. I think Olivier at times has gone into, you know, a little bit of penalty here, penalty there. But I think in terms of what he brings to the table player-wise, you know, he's going out there, fights Pat Maroon. He didn't have to do that, you know, start the third period or whatever. Pat Maroon was trying to get his guys going and fired up, and he answers the bell, and he's got some offensive upside. He can skate, lay the body. And Trenin, to me, is he's a guy that I feel, you know, he's scored at every level. He's good as a scorer, but he's one of those guys that when you're in the minors and you don't have that opportunity in your, you know, NHL club level, you have to change your game a little bit, and you have to be, you know, become something else or add more to your game. And he's done that. He's a power forward. He gets in there and he's not scared to hit anybody. Doesn't back down from any physical confrontation, and he's got skill and he can skate. So he's a guy that I could see eventually, you know, moving up in the lineup if he continues to develop and produce offensively. I think that's a guy that, you know, you could look at as a third line, even potentially second line player down the road. But I love them. They make impact. They make impact, and they play the majority of their shifts in the offensive zone, which is always a good thing.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. And C-Mace, obviously due to the injury situation and the suspension to Dante Fabbro, which was up yesterday, made a huge save in the first period of that game, Fabbro did. But they've seen a lot of younger defensemen start to come into the lineup. I want to ask you about two guys specifically, and that is Jeremy Davies, who, of course, they got back in the P.K. Subban trade, and Alex Carrier as well, a guy Predators fans have, I think, been anxious to see now here for a while. What have you thought of Carrier and Jeremy Davies and the way that they've played?
We just lost C-Mace.
I think we just lost C-Mace. We'll effort to get him back. It's been interesting from my vantage point to watch Carrier and Davies, just with how, you know, especially Davies, the way he moves the puck. I think he's got a chance to be a part of the power play as they move forward here. I know a lot of people were underwhelmed with the return for the P.K. Subban trade, and we know it was essentially a salary dump, but I've been really impressed by what I've seen out of Jeremy Davies. And we've got Chris Mason back on the line with us now. See, Mace, I was asking you about Jeremy Davies and Alex Carrier. What have you seen out of those two guys specifically on the back end?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, obviously I think the first game for both of those guys, Carrier's was a little earlier. I saw some nerves in the first few shifts. And, you know, John Hines has often talked about, you know, how to, as a defenseman, when you come up to the National Hockey League, how do you react under duress? And I think, you know, they've gotten so much better at that, even from the short time here being in the National Hockey League. And given the competition they're playing against every night, I really think they're handling themselves, you know, better than expected. And I also think it helps that they're not just called up. They're not getting stuck on the third pair, because both of those guys are used to playing big minutes. They're used to seeing power play time. They're used to, you know, all situations. So given the injuries to, you know, Josi and Ellis and then Fabbro out and Borowiecki, obviously, they get thrown right into the fire. So they're playing, you know, 20-plus minutes right away. They're playing top pair, second pair minutes. So I think that's really helped them. You know, you're not coming up for one game and maybe you're going to go back down. And it's been really impressive, especially for Alex Carrier, because, you know, he's been on the taxi squad a lot, hasn't played hockey until he played his first game in the National Hockey League this year with Nashville. And then Jeremy Davies is having success in Milwaukee. He gets called up, and aside from the first couple of shifts, he's really settled in, and both of these guys can play in their own end. And the more they, the more games go by, the more involved they are offensively. You see them, leading, getting in on the forecheck, carrying the puck, making plays in the offensive zone, sneaking back door. So I think the fact that the Preds have had so many injuries has allowed them to, that trial by fire, just get thrown right into the mix right away, right into the fire. They got nothing to lose. They're going to play. I think that's helped them tenfold, really, just to be able to play their game and not have the fear of, well, I might be getting sent down, or it's only one game, or I'm only going to be on the third pair, so I'm only going to play, 10, 12 minutes. They've got to go in there and just keep putting them out there, and they've really, taken huge leaps, I think, in their first few games.
Are we seeing a new level, C-Mace, from Ekholm? Obviously, he's Mr. Big Board trade guy out there in the league circles, and he's been asked about it, and people are going to, talk about it until something happens or doesn't. But what about his game? I mean, are you seeing anything different or better, or am I just overreacting to, some of his goals?
No, I think he's in a situation where, I think we've all always known how valuable Matthias Ekholm is, but it seems like he doesn't get the fanfare because you're always saying, oh, my God, look at what Roman Josi did and Ryan Ellis. And Matthias Ekholm's pretty awesome, too. He's usually third on the totem pole in those conversations. But, you look back at the run they had in 2017, he was one of the biggest reasons because of the style he plays. But now I think you see, there's more of a, he's more of a focal point and a necessity of this team. And you really get to understand the type of person and the leader that he can be. And, there's not many guys that I would say are as well-rounded as Matthias Ekholm in terms of the ability to contribute offensively. He can skate for a big man. He's also really physical. He's got that game. He's a little bit of a jerk out there defensively to the other teams, which you love to have. And it makes, the other team, obviously, they know every time they go in front of the net when Matthias Ekholm is, they're probably going to get a stick. They're not going to get a free lane to the net. And I think with more of the focus on Matthias Ekholm, we're really beginning to, have that spotlight on him and the focus on Matthias. And then you also, he's one of the leaders on this hockey team. And I think when your team is in this situation, there's so many young guys. I look to, the veteran guys as, the season hasn't gone the way everybody expected and it's tough. And, you can see the body language sometimes. So I look to the leaders to how they carry themselves in a situation like this, because it's easy to be a leader when everything's going well and you're winning and you got a good team and yada, yada, yada. Everything's happy, everything's good. But when things are tough, the old cliche, that really is when I think it reveals your character. And to me, he's been the epitome of how you lead by example and the example that you want your young guys to follow in terms of his compete level, the way he carries himself, the competitiveness, the expectation to win no matter what, no excuses. I think he has taken a next level, and a lot of that's because more attention has been put on him and the spotlight's on him, and that's when I think he shines the best. And right now he's definitely bringing, you talk about a potential trade piece, well, he's increasing his trade value every game.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See Mace, thanks as always for taking time to join us, and go knock them dead on Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Boy, absolutely. Chris Mason joins us every week here at 8:30 here on Robbie and Rex Roads on Tuesdays. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. Reset a big win yesterday for the Preds down in Tampa. Also get back into the Titans as well. All that coming up. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of our text line, 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word GOALIE to 615-737-1025. That's GOALIE to 615-737-1025. now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And you can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And today, Joe Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch and on YouTube at 102.5 The Game on both platforms.
Yes, and anybody who's been watching understands why Ryan Porth calls me a middle-aged coffee addict. I put two, what are these? These are stevias. Yeah, I go with the stevia. I put two stevias in this one. By the way, my text line is being blown up by Stillman now. See, it's not just me picking on Jared. I mean, he comes at me a lot.
Okay.
Now, he's trying to tell me that Orlovsky equals Bayless.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently Orlovsky said, like, the Bucks are going 16-0, which, okay. I mean, I disagree. But now Stillman's trying to say that, you know, the same thing as Bayless. I think we need to get Orlovsky, like, we need to maybe get a debate.
I agree.
A range between those two.
Maybe we'll stream that on Twitch and on YouTube as well.
I would take an hour of Orlovsky a day of his analysis of football. I think it'd be amazing.
That'd be great.
I would take no seconds of Skip Bayless a day.
No.
Okay?
I'm with you.
That's just me.
I'm with you.
But according to Stillman, the same guy.
The Predators, a big win yesterday down in Tampa Bay. Probably the most impressive performance of the season. And John Hines, Predators head coach, was asked about the performance by the team after the game. Given the roster and given the opponent going up against the defending champs, here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
I think tonight was a pretty complete performance, and, you know, in really in multiple ways. I think 5-on-5, we played really well. You know, we won the special teams battle. I thought, you know, one significant factor too, Adams, I think when you look at tonight's game, there was no passengers. I mean, all four lines played well. The six defensemen were there. Pex had a good night. So I think it was a pretty complete game in how we played the game, but also throughout the lineup. But to be very honest with you, I thought, you know, the Dallas game in Dallas was the same way. The two Carolina games were the same way. We didn't get the end result we wanted. We really felt we played really well the first night here in Tampa Bay and didn't find a way to win. And, you know, to the guys' credit, we reinforced the, you know, how we want to play and the things that we want to do. And we were able to do those tonight and find a way to win. So I think we played some really good hockey here as of late.
So that was Predators head coach John Hines after the game yesterday. A big 4-1 win for the Nashville Predators. 4 points for Cal Yarncrook. 1 goal, 3 assists, career high.
Guy keeps, I don't know.
Just keeps producing.
What do you want? What do you want from Cal Yarncrook?
He's been great this year.
And Cal Yarncrook, you know.
Probably warrants a selection tomorrow on Preds Pick to Click, or excuse me, on Thursday. Pick to Click.
You would think. Maybe you should start, you know, figuring this out, Robbie.
Probably should.
And, you know, if Roman Josi is the front man of this band, which I'm
now part of,
wearing a half shirt hitting the cowbell in the background. I mean, Yarncroke's got to be like, right? Like right
sure.
Next to him? Yeah. The Josi Yarncroke. We can come up with a band name for these
absolutely.
Guys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely could. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah, Soft Jays.
The Soft Jays.
Yarn, Yos.
I like it.
Look at Porth.
They both like to go yogging.
Well done.
Very nice. Porth liked that.
And they think it's a... Wait.
He's done.
No.
All righty.
Does this
you.
Mean he's seen Anchorman?
I think so.
You've
seen
impressed.
Anchorman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think Anchorman's overrated, but...
God, okay. But tell me more about me, you, and Dupree.
Yes. Tell me more about the great you, me, and Dupree. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, as a fan, I'm taking it one game at a time. We know we'll be sellers, and the Panthers have been playing well this season. The Preds just beat the Cup champs without their starting goalie. How much confidence does this win give the Preds to go into Sunrise and take two more points coming up on Thursday?
I like that there's fans focused on like the wins and the standings, you know,
yeah.
And not just the trading. But on the trading front, do you sometimes feel like, gosh, you sure you want to trade Ekholm?
Yeah, I felt about like that way
the whole time. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you better get back some.
Dude looks awfully good, doesn't he?
He is awfully good.
Yes, he is. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, just anxious and ready for these trades to happen already. Yossi is the only player I'm excited to keep.
How is it that Heidi just texted in and didn't rip me in any way?
I know it's a little bit of a different strategy.
You keep reading her message.
Well, you
and
called
like,
her out for it yesterday, so.
I don't want her to stop. I think it's funny.
Is it going
to
be Joe's Dupree?
I was just going to say, is this Heidi's Dupree?
Or yeah. Joe's Dupree?
Heidi's Dupree. Whose Dupree is this?
Joe's Bud.
Oh, I like that. Joe's Bud.
Now you're going back to college.
Well, Port's done for the rest of the show. All right, cool.
He's howling in there.
Speaking of the Titans, we're going to have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 9 o'clock, as he does each and every Tuesday here on the program at 9 o'clock. We'll get into free agency and the moves made by the Titans with him. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland texts in and says, Bud Dupree was a nice pickup. All the naysayers can say he was surrounded by top talent, but the Steelers' defense was killing people until he got hurt. Then they fell apart. We needed a great defensive leader. It's a great pickup for the Titans.
No, that's a good point. They definitely did. They missed him. I mean, it all worked together. And it's always tough when it's sort of like when we talk about quarterbacks sometimes, right? It's like, well, but Mac Jones had all that talent. Well, I hope you're listening, Drew Chester. He also threw the ball really, really well. So, you know, is it his fault that those guys are first-round picks? Does that knock him down? Apparently it doesn't. I'm seeing more and more people who like Mac Jones. And it's in this way, it's like, okay, so yes, he played against a opposite a guy who got a lot of attention, who was a great pass rusher, who was a better player, T.J. Watt. But that was that defense before he went down was really the best defense in the NFL, right? I don't know if it was number one statistically, but I think
They were undefeated until he went down, weren't they?
It was the most fearsome defense in the NFL, and he was a big part of that, so. It's look, that was part of why I was kind of iffy on him, the ACL, the other part, and we'll see. But the guy has produced. So it's kind of the opposite of last year. It's like, well, Clowney doesn't get sacks. He does a lot of other things. I think Bud Dupree does other things too, but he actually has the production to show for himself, and I think that's why he's getting paid what he is.
I think so too. And
if you finish plays, even if you have great players around you, that means something in this league.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And if he's healthy, he's a guy, and you talked about the film you saw on him earlier, and they've been showing clips all day long here on the NFL Network inside the studio here. That guy's a monster when he's on, when he's healthy. He can rush right through people. He's got the speed as well. And, I mean, he's a double-digit sack guy. How long have Titans fans been clamoring to go after a guy that's still theoretically in the prime of his career that's a double-digit sack guy? And here we are. It's Bud Dupree.
And when he has 3.5 sacks next year, then everybody can complain.
Yes. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi texts back in and says, no, Bud's going to be decent. Joe cannot have credit for him.
Okay. I'll just take credit for Joe's Clowney, who I saw somebody yesterday be like, okay, so now the Titans can sign Clowney as the third guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Those dominoes are starting to fall, baby.
He'll take $5 million.
Let's go back to the text line. Chris texts in and says, trading Ekholm is the equivalent of the Titans drafting Isaiah Wilson.
Oh. Really?
What about that?
Okay. Wouldn't it be the equivalent of the Titans trading someone great who was then great somewhere else?
Yeah.
And they miss him?
I guess so.
Like, maybe it's the equivalent of watching Jonnu Smith go to multiple Pro Bowls with Belichick.
Yeah, could be that.
And your offense takes a big step back and you miss him and cry.
Yeah. Kathleen texts in and says, trading Ekholm would make me as mad as I was when the Shea Weber trade happened. Kathleen does not have fond memories of the Shea Weber trade.
What was the percentage? We've talked about this, but remind me. Percentage approval rate of Predators fans when that trade happened?
I was over 50-50.
It was over 50.
Yeah.
But I think was it 75-25?
I don't know if it was that high, but, I mean, Shea Weber, people love Shea Weber.
Of course.
So there was that part of it, I think, was it almost 100%. But I think most people were okay with the trade. Understood it.
Yeah. It was a good trade.
You bet a good return if it's Matthias Ekholm, though. I've said that from the beginning. I think long and hard about trading that guy. We'll see what happens.
When my called shot comes through and Morgan Frost and picks come from Philly,
yeah,
all the pressure's on you, Morgan Frost.
Right now, apparently the going price for Matthias Ekholm, according to Elliot Friedman yesterday on his 31 Thoughts podcast, 2 prospects and a first-round pick.
That sounds about right.
So it has moved from a prospect and a first-rounder to 2 prospects and a first.
That's what we've been talking about for a couple weeks. Like, that's where the conversation begins with me.
Yeah, I mean,
look. Go on from there.
And it's just a situation where if I'm David Poile, I want Matthias Ekholm to be part of everything that's to come.
Yeah.
But how do you really build stuff if you don't trade guys when they have this kind of value?
Yeah.
It's a dilemma.
The trade deadline right now is a buyer's market, but with Matthias Ekholm, he is by far and away the top defenseman.
Yeah.
So the Preds are going to be able to get something very good for Ekholm.
They'll be able to dictate the market, for sure. And if that's the route they choose to go, they'll be able to get a solid haul back. I don't think there's any question about that. When we come back, we will join Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. He'll join us here on the show, as he does each and every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, to talk all things NFL free agency and a little more about Joe's Bud as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.